you've got
my people in the East, yo, you gotta wake up. Midwest, 30 South, yo, you gotta stand up. All my homies in the West, yo, you gotta wake up.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hell. But they don't have so very long before the judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away?
Up y'all mind, it's everybody's wake up call time. I can't sleep too long, why they do the people wrong? Let's clean the world up before they sweep you gone. This is real talk, you can peek through songs. So when you
feel right, listening audience, here on WRUULP Savannah, we are tuned into the Highest News Your Way twice a week in an hour just for you on WRUULP Savannah 107.5 FM. And as you know, we have a lot going on here in the Savannah area and in Georgia. We have a Senate and congressional seat that is flippable, which will make an enormous impact here in Georgia and across the United States. But anyway, we have some big events coming up this week, some phenomenal events coming up in Savannah this next week. And we're going to have a little round table on our first course of action here, which is a group called Transformative Justice. They're working with groups like the People's Agenda, going from Cobb County all the way to Spalding County, 14 different counties on December the 14th, on what is called the John Lewis Good Trouble March and Votercade to the ballot box across Georgia. So we have three individuals on right now here to talk with us about the event, what this means to the community. Welcome to the Verb Altitude Hour. How are y'all doing tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, I'm just so excited. And we have three individuals, so let's start from the top. Please go through and introduce yourselves.
Well, I'll start. I'm Barbara Arnwine. I am the founder and president. Has joined. I'm the founder and president of the Transformative Justice Coalition, which was founded in 2015. And prior to that, for 25 years, I was the president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And while there, I created the Election Protection Program and created the Map of Shame to explain in 2011 the rise of modern-day voter suppression.
And you carry...
My name is...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to give her accolade for the excitement that you will always hear in her voice. I've only met her a few times across the airwaves and Zoom, but she's always carrying some mighty power in her voice.
Thank you.
No, but that's an introduction. I don't know if I want to say anything.
attorney. I'm the chairman of the board of the Transformative Justice Coalition, and I'm also the general counsel for the Transformative Justice Coalition. And just so excited to join your show this evening and to certainly be on here with, you know, just some powerhouses in terms of people that are involved and active in the community, in the persons of Barbara Online as well as Diane Wilkerson. Just excited to be here with them this evening, having this discussion coming into Georgia.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Diane Wilkerson, and I actually am calling from the wonderful city of Boston, Massachusetts.
Wow.
But tomorrow, if you got me on the phone, I'd be calling from Savannah, because I'm on my way to Savannah.
Oh, we are excited for you to come.
I am so totally excited, so excited. I have the privilege of working under really the leadership. You had that right. Of Barbara Arnwine and Daryl Jones. I am the treasurer of the Transformative Justice Coalition. But for the next, how many days do we have? 35 days? I said, we're all Georgia. We are all Georgia. I have the privilege of chairing our national and international phone banking committee. And we are making calls from all over the world. I had somebody on the other day from British Columbia. Yesterday. Who were making calls to all the registered voters in Georgia, and we are going to be on the Savannah John Lewis Good Trouble March on Monday. Can't wait. We'll be there. And I have on the phone my colleague, who's also in Boston, Leonard Blake Lee. I heard Leonard get on. It's funny. We got a question from Tonja Roberts today. She wanted to know what was the name of his company that was donating masks. And I'm going to let him tell it. It's not a company, but it's a passion. So, Leonard, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Evening, everybody. Yes, Leonard Lee. And Diane's being very modest because she dragged me into everything that I love to do, helping people who look like you and others. And just to share briefly, I do not have a company. I work in and around for the community. I'm a curator and a general manager. And under Diane's leadership, we created this organization here in Boston. And from that organization, it birthed an idea of how can we be proactive. Being a public health person, I used to be Deputy Commissioner of Public Health for Connecticut and also Division Director of Violence and Injury Prevention for the state of Massachusetts. Diane and I thought about the idea of how can we be proactive in the early stages of COVID. And one of the things was, what can we do, and we can do quickly? That is to provide masks freely to any and everyone, particularly those of color, that are pre-existing conditions, since the exception of what we call masking the communities of color. I've given out probably about 120,000 masks.
Wow.
and hand sanitizer. It started with an idea of going on Facebook and asking my friends to give up Starbucks for one day, asking them for $5, which turned into 10, which turned into 1,000. I got,
wow.
And then, of course, Diane gave me 500. I didn't think she was going to have to pull me to pay it back, but it's been used, Diane. It's been used. And so it's been growing ever since. There were some tremendous articles in the Globe and the Herald and Boston Magazine about the effort. It's real simple for me. Masks aren't clothing. Masks aren't fashion stitches. If you don't have a mask, you could die. And so masks should be free to everyone. So with that being said, with this initiative and what we're doing down in Georgia, I'm from my people's from Moultrie, Georgia, so I have a real connect with Georgia now. And the headquarters of my fraternity, Omega Psi Phi Incorporated, is out of Atlanta. So, you know, I got a lot of connections to Georgia. So it was only natural to say, hey, how can I be helpful? We were able to get at least between 1,500 to 2,500 masks, hand sanitizer, and face shields out yesterday, which was a challenge.
So each county, Barbara. All right now.
And I'm excited. I will be down there with Diane and doing anything and everything I can do to support this effort. It's really an honor to work with y'all. I'm excited about working with y'all and doing this. I have a lot of hope and prayer that people will look at that example and talk about how can we grow this much bigger than this, and people understand. saying, you can't just push us around. You can't do that. Because we will organize and mobilize and take it right back from you. So I'm excited about being here. I don't want to preach, but I'm excited about being here, and I look forward to meeting folks who are going to be in Savannah.
Well, fantastic. We're excited to have you.
Thank you.
Can we talk about what brought this event really to Georgia? I mean, I know we kind of know what's all going on, but this event is not the first event that you all have put on in the U.S. You've done this in Charlotte. You've done it in some other places. What has this event done in other areas?
Oh, is that a loaded question? First of all, yes, there's so much in that question. There's so much to say in response to it. First of all, this whole March series, what we call the John Lewis Good Trouble, GOTV voter, voter awareness marches and votercades, were the inspiration and vision of Daryl Jones. Because in December 2019, when we were talking about how in the world were we going to fight what we knew was going to be increased voter suppression throughout the country, meaning that people would be doing everything in their power to block black, brown, Asian, Native American, and young voters. We knew that. Without a question, that they would have targets on their backs for many people who are we call them anti-democracy people, because they only think people who vote like them ought to vote. They think everybody else is a fraud, everybody else is cheating, everybody else is engaging in some kind of activity. So we said, so what are we going to do? Because we know they're going to be coming up with all kind of schemes, all kind of programs, all kind of practices to block people from voting. And Daryl Jones said without hesitation that we're going to march to the ballot box. So in January, we launched a national initiative with 350 people, 100 organizations in total. We launched what was called the Our March to the Ballot Box series. And we were so excited. We had a summit planned. We had everything planned. And then came COVID and the coronavirus. And in March, everybody started shutting the country down. Everybody started saying you can't have no meetings, marches, protests, gatherings, etc. And Daryl Jones, to his credit, never wavered. He said, we got to march. He said, I'm telling you, I see it. In November, we're marching. And he never wavered. He said, let's keep planning the marches. Don't give up. Start building the committees from state to state. And sure enough, in July, following the killing of our brother, George Floyd, in Minneapolis, and that, of course, followed the horrible slaying of Ahmaud Arbery, where people first started marching and going back into the streets. And then came Breonna Taylor, and then came George Floyd, and all of a sudden, the world was marching, not just the U.S., and despite the COVID era, people felt so propelled, so compelled to seek change. And people were talking about voting. And Daryl Jones was there in the midst of all of this. And we looked at each other and said, it's all now. We're definitely marching from now on. So we will be marching all through early voting. And that's what we did. We marched through early. We set up and we had these John Lewis votercades, every state's first day of early voting. And let me just end with that intro, and I'm going to definitely turn it over to Daryl, is that when John Lewis died, nobody can understand, but I know there are people in your audience, a listening audience, who knew that man, who saw him, who knew what a beautiful, good soul he was, and 50 years of championing and watching over and stewarding and being the eagle, you know, looking over the Voting Rights Act and protecting it. And in his last year, his last act before he announced that he was ill was to see the passage of the Voting Rights Advancement Act that now bears his name. And I knew him well, and it was devastating to lose him, and I promised him at his casket that I would that we would carry on, and that's how the marches and voter case acquired his name. Daryl?
No, that's a very accurate description of what happened. But I tell you, when our first John Lewis march, Good Trouble Voter Awareness March and Voter Gate series, so what it's designed to do is to, you know, is to get into the community, not into, you know, the upper levels, upper echelon of the community, but to the grassroots, you know, down with the people. And to energize them, to, you know, make them realize that it's voting season, that they have the power of the ballot in their hand, that they can affect change in the community. That's what the spirit of the John Lewis March was all about. And it was with that that we went into our first march, which was in Danville, Virginia. And I know Diane and Barbara have heard me tell this story, but I got to tell it. You know, Danville, Virginia, and I'm out of the state of Maryland, and Virginia is maybe 45 minutes on a slow day, 50 minutes on a fast day away from Maryland. So our first march was in Danville, Virginia, and Barbara says, we're going to Danville. I know nothing about Danville. I've never heard of Danville, and I can tell you quite honestly, if I never see Danville, Virginia again, I'll be just fine. But I tell you, when we started to go into the city of Danville, Virginia, some 5 hours away from where we were, because it's right on the Carolina line, we went through a sea of Confederate flags. And then that was in the city as we approached Danville, and then went to our hotel to rest for the evening, and then our march was the next day. The next day, it was no better than the initial approach into the city, or just... Confederate flags everywhere, and it was the old. It turned out that Danville, Virginia, was the last capital of the old Confederacy, and so they were very, very big in celebrating the old Confederacy and all that it stood for. What raised the question in our minds was, well, what does this mean for the local African American community? It's, you know, not a huge African American community that's there. And, you know, it posited in our mind the understanding of what it's like to be in small-town America as a minority and what it means and the oppressive techniques that can be used. Well, you know, but I'm very pleased to tell your audience this evening that as we marched through Danville, Virginia, we went to the church where Dr. King spoke and John Lewis also spoke, took a knee and listened to the sermon of Dr. King. We then began marching down. That was on top of the hill. We began marching down the hill and coming up to a bridge at the bottom of the hill that was named after Dr. King. To call it a modest bridge would be an understatement. But I tell you, as we got to the bottom of that bridge, there was a sea of Confederate flags along with the people that accompanied them that were waiting for us to come through. And the interesting question was, how was the community, the black community, particularly in Danville, Virginia, going to respond to this open and hostile environment that's being created? And, you know, and I still to this day marvel at their response. They put their shoulders back. They straightened up their backs. They held their heads high, and they marched through. And they started shouting and singing, "We shall overcome. We will overcome. We must overcome and cross that bridge." Well, you know, this is what the spirit of this march is about. Because after that march, that community in Danville, Virginia, for 2 times per week, loaded blacks in their community to take them to the ballot box to vote. That community continued to march after that march because they wanted everyone to know
that the spirit of John Lewis and their ability to exercise their franchise will not be in any way impeded. So that's what we have now coming to Georgia, is that spirit coming to the, every to 14, 15, 16 different communities and counties throughout Georgia, that we will be in the community, walking with them, marching with them. And our marches don't go from point A to point B. They go from point A to a drop box, from point A to a polling site where people cast their ballots. That's what the John Lewis Good Trouble Voter Awareness March series is all about.
Wow, that is incredible. And I know that we've got a lot of different organizations here in Savannah working on the one here, but you're looking to expand what you're doing past these four, these 14 counties on the 14th. And what, why is it important to expand? I know that I've seen some research sent from a few emails about populations that you're looking at for major, you know, minority populations in those districts. But why is it important to target counties that have large black and brown populations?
You want me to take that on, Barbara? You want it, Diane? Diane, you want
it? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I think, number one, because we have the most, it's a wonderful question. We have the most at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia has become the microcosm of an opportunity for us to redress all that has been wrong in this last 3 to 4 years at this time of racial reckoning. Barbara talked about just some of the names, many of the names that we have that have been risen to prominence for all the wrong reasons, all the sad reasons, emanate out of Georgia. You mentioned earlier, Carrie, that the relative of Mr. Arbery was not far from Savannah, and actively involved.
Mm-hmm.
And organizing. I think that there has never been. You know, I quote Congressman Clyburn says all the time. He says, you know, people talk about this being the most election important election cycle in our lives. He said the fact is all elections are important, but some are more consequential than others. This is consequential. And we see what happens in Georgia leading up to January 5th. Is really finishing a job that we started, a year ago. And all that Barbara told you, I don't even know now because I've heard, my mind is such a blur. If she talked about the fact we didn't start with Georgia, we're finishing with Georgia. We had 23 states ago looking at, before even the marches, looking at all the different laws that were put in place to suppress and oppress black voter turnout. And despite all of that, and we saw legislators then a year ago and still now trying to do everything possible to suppress the vote. What more appropriate state than the home of John Lewis, who 65 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
64 years ago. The Voting Rights Act is younger than I am old. It's not a long history, but we've got work to do. And I couldn't really think of a more appropriate place for the nation concerned about racial reckoning and racial justice and uplifting the health and welfare of people than Georgia. This is it. This is ground zero for us, which is why we're energized about Georgia right now as we were before November 3rd. It's all about Georgia. So we're bringing everything that we have. We have been privileged, Terry, to meet people like you. We never wanted to walk in and say, we're the new sheriff in town. We wanted to meet the sheriff in town and sign up to be your deputy. And that's a Daryl Jones analogy, right? But that's what we're here to do. We are here to support the work. You heard Leonard Lee say that. Help in whatever way we can. You need masks, we bring that mask. You need sanitizer, we bring sanitizer. You need buttons, you need signs, we bring them. And we're bringing.
Don't leave out the lawsuit, Diane. You need a lawsuit. Bring it out too.
Gary knows that well. Listen, this has been a lesson on so many levels for those of us trained in the law. We talk every single day about how the legal cases and the experiences and the arguments and how they're unfolding. And you know, you can never predict what a judge or a court is going to do, even by the questions that they may ask you in hearings. Mm-hmm. But to some extent, we're riding this one on faith and a belief that they're going to do the right thing. We had the one major prayer answered last night. In the middle of a meeting talking about this, the Supreme Court didn't do anything different than what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And we're going to be there. We're going to be there till the end, until January 5th at the end of that day, and hope that what we have contributed in a way that is helpful. And in fact, what we do in Georgia is going to impact the entire United States of America. So we're in it.
And talking about
answered your question.
Yes, you did. And I want
people to know. I mean, come on now, because you know, we're so excited about Georgia because the voters here have already shown up and shown out by showing the world, showing the nation what young voters can do. Because your young voters set a record, a national record. Your African-American voters, you know, turned out. Your Asian voters, your Latino voters, people that folks say they don't count. You know, we're going to, you know, suppress them. And we actually brought a lawsuit last week.
Wow.
Because of this state having the nerve to remove from the voter rolls. You heard me. I didn't say. I'm talking about they took people off who had gone through the trouble to register to vote. They took them off of the voter rolls and claimed they did so because these people had moved. We hired specialists who looked into that list and established that 200,000 people had never moved. And they lied and said that they had done this, you know, because they were doing it on the advice of a professional company that was expert at telling them who had signed up on the National Change of Address list. It turns out that 70,000 people on that list, who they claim, because let me be clear, the other people are, you know, they said didn't return postcards that say that they were there, or that they, you know, that they didn't think they were still, you know, at their addresses for other reasons. But they also said they had gotten rid of 100,000 people because they believed that none of these people were validly registered to vote any longer because they had put in change of address statements. Turns out none of these 70,000+ people had done so. None of them. That they can't even produce one little record showing one of them put in such a change of address. Because they used a company that must have been somebody's friend. Because they were unlicensed for this purpose. And when on the voting stand, when they were asked about this, how could they have made such a fundamental mistake when the Voting Rights, when the National Voter Registration Act makes it clear you can only use a USPS licensee, they could not explain it.
Wow.
And seriously, they offered no answer. They could not explain it. In fact, Darryl, what they say about they had just discovered from their lawyers, it was ridiculous. 2 days before that, the company they thought was that they were using actually didn't have connections with some other company that might have been licensed. It was insane. It was insane. But this has done irreparable injury to all of these voters from being taken off the rolls when they did not request so, when they wanted to be voters. Why else do you vote? Why else do you register to vote? Outrageous, Georgia. So we sued them. We had a hearing before our judge, who seems to be a very fair judge, and we will get the results of his decision soon. But our prayer is that all of these 200,000 people will be restored to the roles where they belong, because they never should have been removed.
That's right.
And yes, Carrie, that's
I think
the
so.
Yes, go ahead,
Dan. Absolutely, Barbara. And Carrie, our mission here is real simple. We're nonpartisan. We're not pushing for one party or the other. Who we're pushing for are voters, and for voters to have unfettered access to the ballot box. Unfettered access, meaning you don't have some organization coming in saying we're going to restrict you from getting to the drop box. We want to restrict the hours of operation that you can get to it, or anything like that. The whole thing is, what we're asking for is just a level playing field, right? For the officiating to be fair, and the rules to be transparent and equally enforced. If all of that's in place, we can live with whatever the result is, because that's the will of the people. But we need all of the qualifiers to make it a fair election in place. And that's why we're here in Georgia pushing for this fair election, pushing, asking people, particularly in the community, the black community, brown community, the young voters, to be certain that they're treated fairly, to be certain that they're aware that there is even a runoff election that's going on in the state of Georgia, and that they get the opportunity to go out and exercise their franchise. That's what we're pushing. That's what the whole John Lewis Good Trouble voter awareness is meant to do. It's meant to pick up that spirit of saying, hey, folks, there's an election. You have a civic responsibility to try to exercise that right to vote. Do what you are supposed to do. Go vote. At this point, registration is done. So now you need to go and vote. And they need to go to the website to check the registration, to be certain that they're registered and that they're able to vote. So they should go to nvp.sos.ga.gov and check on their status and be certain that they're on the voter rolls, they're eligible to vote, and where they're supposed to go to vote if they elect to go to that site on election day.
Now, the event on Monday, today is Saturday, my apologies. The event on Monday starts at 3 o'clock from Conyers Temple. And we will be votercading around Savannah, hitting communities that are black and brown and letting them know that they can vote. And essentially, this is on the first day of early voting in Savannah we're one of the 14 counties. And you are expanding. But we have about 6 minutes left of this segment. I want to make sure we get everything in. What is important that we need to cover that our listeners need to know about this?
I would say the most important thing is, one, you can help by, letting everybody know that early voting starts on December 14th and it runs until December the 31st. That, and what we're saying to people is, don't waste your time and your ballot by forgetting that it's better to vote early. You want to vote early, just like you did for the general election, because Christmas, when it comes, it's going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to forget, and January 5th is going to come up, and people are going to be, wasn't there a date? And they're going to forget. So vote early, people. Take advantage of this and join us with these motorcades. They're for the people. Bring your car out. Come on out. Be there. Dance, in the streets as we dance when we break through these motorcades. Come out. Bring friends. Bring family. Make sure everybody, votes, because that's what's important. And it's the power of this election is in your hand. It's in your voice. Speak the power to everybody you know.
Trying.
Well, I want to make sure that people understand that you all are heavyweights in your areas and in this transformative justice group, I mean, starting election protection, being lawyers involved in the fight, you see the other side of it, and you hear the cases on this side of it. So you've heard stories after stories of voter suppression. It's serious and it's real, and you're coming to our neighborhoods to connect with us. I think that's huge.
Well, we just want to, you know, really lift up early voting and let everybody know they can show up. Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, you know, I think that the message is that we want to lift up early voting. We want to tell people, get out there and vote. We got your back.
Yes.
You know, we're in for it.
Right.
We're following the lawsuits. We're there with you. We are going to walk with you to the polls. We will stand
there
till you come out. And then we'll feed you after you voted. So come
around. Celebrate.
Get in and celebrate. We are going to celebrate the votes. You know, we got your back. Omega Psi Phi is going to be there with you. You know, Alpha Phi Alpha is going to be there. Everybody's going to be there with you. We got your back, but we need you to take the steps in this march to make your ballot count and go vote.
And
well, all right, then.
Leonard, we got the PPE, right?
We're putting together voter kits. Hand sanitizer, mask, and instructions how to get to the polls. There's no excuse.
All right,
though. There you go. And those are some nice masks. I got to pick them up from the mail today. I was like, wow, these masks are on point. I think I might have to just put one in my pocket for a later date.
No, not at all.
And check out the buttons and the banners, too.
That's right.
Oh, yes. There's nothing more important. John Lewis told us what to do, people. He told us what to get into good trouble.
Right.
He told us what to get into necessary trouble.
Right.
And we're saying to everyone, get into voting trouble starting December the 14th for early voting. Be part of these voter caves. Come out with us all over the state of Georgia. Do it, Savannah. Lead the way, Savannah. We can't wait. For everyone to show up on Monday, and what do? When we show up, we show out. Let's do
that. That's right. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Barbara, if I could just want to reiterate what you said. We all paused for a minute when you said, what was the most important thing? Mm-hmm. I could not agree more with Barbara. Is that people exercise their right as early as possible, whether it's early voting, whether you're going to do an absentee ballot, because we already been through this, so we know what they're going to try.
Literally.
We know what they're going to do. Right? So get booked, get registered early, get your ballot early, and bottom line, as we've learned from the phone bank committee process, if you hit something that doesn't feel right and doesn't sound right, scream and holler, because it probably isn't right.
And
we encourage you to take that absentee ballot to a drop-off, not in the U.S. Postal Service. Mm-hmm. Take that absentee ballot to a drop-off or to the Board of Elections to deliver
that's
it.
Right.
Be certain that your vote makes it to the Board of Elections.
That's right. And we also, if you have any troubles, any questions, call that Election Protection Hotline, where there's legal volunteers on the other side. That's 866 Our Vote, 866-687-8683. That's 866-687-8683. Because we're all about the voter. It's all, we don't care what party you belong to. We don't care what your race is. We believe in democracy. And democracy is for every American citizen who is eligible to vote, being able to vote.
Well, all right now. That I'm excited. I cannot wait to meet every single one of you.
We can't wait.
Soon enough. No, we're going to turn out Savannah. You know, Carrie, everybody
talks
about Georgia. They say Atlanta, but we're going to turn out Savannah.
There you go. They better watch out now. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm going to jump over to Katie, and we're going to talk about the 28th Amendment, but I just wanted to thank you for your time today, because I have heard from Miss Helen, from every single one about y'all, and getting to talk to you directly, I'm in awe, like, because I've heard everything about you, getting to talk to you in person, so thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
All right, see you Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, we're going to jump off and go to a quick little intermission here on the Verb Altitude Hour on WRUULP Savannah. And then we're going to jump right into a conversation with Katie, who is with the RVG Motorcade, to talk about the 28th Amendment, which is near and dear to our hearts as well. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back in just a moment with the Verb Altitude Hour on WRUULP Savannah.
Soundings programming is provided by listeners and by Brighter Day Natural Foods. Brighter Day Natural Foods has been serving Savannah's healthy food and supplement needs since 1978. It is located at the corner of Bull Street and Park Avenue. They have available online ordering and curbside delivery, and now a walk-up window for smoothies, juices, and sandwiches from the deli. They are open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 12 to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday. More information can be found at brighterdayfoods.com.
What does it mean when we say that WRUU is a community radio station? It doesn't just mean that we invite the community to create programming, and it doesn't just mean that we are a voice for the community. It also means that we are counting on the community to keep us going, and you are the community. Almost all of our modest budget comes from small annual or monthly donations from listeners like you. You get to enjoy our community-focused programming because many others have stepped forward to do their part. Now do your part by joining our community of listener donors. Go to WRUU.org right now and make a one-time or monthly donation. And thank you for supporting Savannah's community radio station, 107.5 FM.
What does it mean when we say that WRUU is a community radio station? It doesn't just mean that we invite the community to create programming. And it doesn't just mean that we are a voice for the community. It also means that we are counting on the community to keep us going. And you are the community. Almost all of our modest budget comes from small annual or monthly donations from...
All right. Well, welcome back to the Verb Altitude Hour on WRUULP Savannah. We are just so excited to be talking about the Equality Amendment that is up again for renewal, basically. But we're going to be talking about the second part of this votercade, which is on Tuesday. And we're talking about the RVG van, the RVG RV. And essentially, we're talking with Katie Hornung. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Hornung. Yeah.
Okay. And we're talking about the Vote Equality U.S. campaign. You are the Vote Equality U.S. campaign coordinator, and we're talking about gender equality, which really affects the LGBTQ community as well here in Savannah. So let's talk about Tuesday. I know that you're very also involved with the Votercade on Monday, but you know, we really want to concentrate on that event on Tuesday. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm really looking forward to hitting the road tomorrow and coming on down to Georgia. It's, I'm going to have to get my Georgia theme music going in the RVG on the way down. But yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I think on Tuesday morning, let me just double check the schedule here. Jess is our tour coordinator, and she sets up all the events, and she's got something at 10 a.m. at the LGBTQ Center Club mm-hmm. 1,
yep.
which I checked online. Looks like it's a super fun kind of night spot.
Yes, ma'am.
So we'll see if they're back up at 10 a.m. I saw that they close at 3 a.m., so hopefully they can get a couple hours of sleep, and we can come back and have some fun in the morning. But yeah, so the 28th Amendment is, you know, more commonly called the Equal Rights Amendment, but now that it's been fully ratified, we get a number instead of just a name. And with the Supreme Court's Bostock ruling, the definition of sex includes especially our trans community as well as our LGBT plus community in general. And so there's always been that question mark of, is this just a, you know, a sex binary sort of amendment, or is this going to really mean all means all, y'all sort of thing? And the reality is, given that Bostock ruling, which was a 6-3 ruling, so we suspect that that will stand even in this current very conservative court. But this wording, this is everybody, and it will include, it's just gender equality. It's, you know, the word sex is used in the amendment itself, but that is a legal word that has a legal definition that the Supreme Court has really said does cover everybody.
You know, it's really interesting because I have two friends that are non-binary, and one that's fighting a tremendous case that we're going to end up hearing about on the show in the coming weeks. But, you know, we don't think about rural areas. We don't think about non-binary individuals that have a tremendous fight on their hands when it comes to even things like child custody and losing things because they might wear a dress one day or, you know, dress as a man the next, which is, for probably people that they know, pretty normal for them because this is the way that they've been for a long time. And but it's no one's right to tell them what gender that they are. So, you know, we've got a huge fight on our hands, and if this is not renewed, then, you know, certain federal protections will go away, you know, when states are already fighting in these rural areas for the rights of people that are non-binary or anybody, you know, that would be severely harmed by this not renewing of the 28th Amendment.
Yeah, it's so the main thing that we need is we just need it to be recognized and added. We've met the hurdles of having every single, we've got 38 ratifications, so we've met every single, you know, step that we needed there. That's makes it to be 3/4 of the United States has ratified. And, you know, the Trump administration put out a legal memo. It's not a binding whatever, but they told the archivist not to add it to the Constitution, whereas the archivist previously had said that, yes, he would be adding it. So it's just been kind of stuck in a limbo, and all we're looking for is just that formal certification and recognition by the archivist, who, by the way, is like a librarian. He's basically our nation's librarian, and that's the spot. Like, we just need him to do his, you know, ministerial duty. He's an administrator. Just do this thing as a librarian, add it, and that way we can start to have a constitutional hook for all of the rules and the laws that we go forward with. There's a lot of talk about the Human Rights Act, and that will be a key you know, component of the Biden administration. But really, without a good constitutional hook, laws can get overturned. They can get gutted. The Supreme Court can kind of decide, you know what, this doesn't really hold up under anything in the Constitution. And so when we add gender equality into the Constitution, all of a sudden you've got things like the Violence Against Women Act, you've got the Human Rights Act, you have a lot of pieces of legislation that will have, you know, real, basically be put into the foundation, into, they have a hook into that foundational document of the Constitution, which is where we need them to be.
You know, this is the other nuance of these areas that hold up in loopholes that, you know, shows like this one helps to expose, you know, listeners to the information that they don't hear on regular media. Because I think that we only get like 30 seconds or 30% of the real issues going on. We kind of have to dive into the nuances there. And, you know, this is a major loophole that really holds back the 28th Amendment.
Yeah, and I mean, what we're really looking for is we need that added into the foundational piece into our Constitution so that when Congress passes laws and they get bumped up to the Supreme Court, which then bumps the laws against the Constitution, that there's a reason that that law is lawful. And currently you have situations like the Lilly Ledbetter Equal Pay Act, and you have VAWA, et cetera. You have these different laws that are trying to make things more equitable across gender, but if they go up to the Supreme Court and you have to argue it on some silliness like interstate commerce clause, like, yeah, you know, gender equality isn't really implied in the interstate commerce clause. But if we have the 28th Amendment added with the 24 simple words, I mean, it really, when you say the words out loud, you really can't argue with them. It's just equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. And it's very straightforward, it's very simple, and it's basically a statement of equality that our country is way behind. There are 168 other international constitutions that have this, and we don't.
Wow.
You know, if we can't just say that we are behind gender equality as a country, like, that kind of a value statement, if that's too hard for us to make, then you can imagine that living that value is going to be even harder than making the statement. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have...
And essentially, we're talking Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, we used to be kind of in that, like, top 15% for gender equality internationally. You know, it wasn't... You know, we were never, like, the super top. Like, that tends to go to the Scandinavian countries that are a few generations ahead of us on gender equality. But we were decent. And in the past couple of decades, we're no longer in the top third of international countries when ranked for gender equality.
And we're talking about people, too. Like, we're talking about everyone. But, mm-hmm. you know, one of the groups that we often don't hear about are men and women who served in our country and, you know, fall into these categories as well. So when people are making a statement of, well, it is not right or this and that, well, you know, think about the men and women who fought in this country and they can't get benefits for their children, you know, and there's a huge issue on them not being respected. And, you know, I think that when you think about groups of people serving our country and you're out there and you're doing this stuff, you know, you start to really recognize, like, well, you don't have to agree with it, but at the same time, who are we to tell somebody who served in our country that they don't have a right to their own sexual orientation and what they do? And when you break it down like that and you kind of highlight a class of people that, you know, we often don't think about, that it kind of drives it home that somebody knows somebody that knows somebody that has been harmed and didn't get their benefits, and someone who served in our country. You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, and especially with vets, our vets, when they go into service, they take an oath, and their oath is to the Constitution. And imagine swearing an oath of allegiance to a document that does not include you, or that does not, you know, protect you in its entirety the way that it should. It maybe protects through the 14th Amendment. We see a lot of protection in the due process for, you know, race, religion, and country of origin. But they wrote gender out of the 14th Amendment on purpose. Like, that is the first place in the Constitution where the word male appears. Like, if you go and look through your Constitution, it is all gender neutral until you come to that 14th Amendment. And so when we have, you know, when we have certain groups that are going to be protected at a higher level than other groups, we don't have equality. And, you know, we've got a lot of information out in the FAQ sections of our website, which our website is just voteequality.us. But, you know, if you bring a court case and you are being discriminated against because of race, religion, or country of origin, you get what's called strict scrutiny, and you are 3 out of 4 times you'll win your case. If you bring a case about gender inequality, you get what's called intermediate scrutiny, meaning the court is not, you basically have to prove not only that you were discriminated against, but you also have to prove intent. And all of a sudden, you are more likely to lose than you are to win. And so this is where it's really just a leveling. Like, we need this level playing field where all Americans discriminated against for any reason get treated the same way in the court system.
Wow. So we have these events coming up with the motorcade. What is the RVG van? RV? And what kind of stuff will you be doing here in Savannah?
And also on Tuesday, we're going to be at Boyle's Park at 2:30.
And that's in Bryan County? Are you there? Hello? There you are.
Are you not here? Yeah.
You said,
are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You said that was in, that's going to be in Bryan County?
So 2:30 is at Boyles Park, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure, it says Richmond Hill, Georgia.
Yep, right there up in Bryan County, and I know you've been organizing with Teresa Timmons, who is amazing.
Yep, that will be with Teresa Timmons and some high schoolers doing some Get Out the Vote activities.
Wow.
Which should be fun.
And we're excited for you to be here in Savannah. So you're hitting two counties in one day. That's tremendous.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, and the thing is, and I would invite anybody out, the notorious RVG, RVG stands for the Ruthless Vote Getter. And, you know, it's just a big purple fun. We got Sharpie markers, come sign your name on it. Like, we're really trying to build the fun side of this Get Out the Vote, and we plan to take all those signatures up to Washington, D.C. in the spring. So it's a chance to kind of put your signature on a little piece of history, and then we will deliver that message directly up into the D.C. area.
Well, that's great. Well, I know that we have, like, 3 minutes left. And I want to make sure we cover everything that we need to cover in those 3 minutes, because I know one of the organizers with the People's Agenda here has had the opportunity to talk with your comrade Jess and myself with the People's Agenda, and he's real excited, and he's non-binary, him and his partner, and they're real excited to have you here. We've talked to the folks with the LGBT Center here, they're excited. So what else would you want people to know? We've got 2 minutes here before we close out.
Yeah, so I guess I would just tag on to what the earlier crowd was saying. You know, early voting is really important because you kind of bank your vote. You bank it early, you know you did it, and your vote's been counted, and it doesn't come down to whether or not you're feeling up to it on January 5th, whether you suddenly have the sniffles and don't really want to get out of bed. Getting out early is the way to bank it. And we really highly recommend that people go and do the early voting in person if they can. And if you can't, an absentee ballot that you drop off in person is the second best, and then using the mail would be the third. We know that we've had a lot of mail delays because of the machines and such. So, you know, we just really want to support people in that. We have some pages on our website for Get Out the Vote Georgia where we've got a variety of resources. If you're a voter in Georgia, we've got a special page for you where you can check your vote. We've got spots, I think, on there where you can follow up if you put in an absentee ballot, where you can track it and make sure that it's been accepted, because there's a whole ballot curing process if there was a problem with a signature or whatever. So, you know, this is a really important vote, and to the extent that people can just kind of get out there and bank it early and make sure that it's been counted, we can make change happen in D.C. in a way that is going to be really hard if we don't have an equality-oriented leadership in D.C., in the Senate.
Well, we're here to help anytime that you travel through Savannah or you have something come up that we can help support the 28th Amendment or any cause like this that you guys are doing. Please let us know, because we will make sure to highlight and let our listeners know what is going on the Verb Attitude Hour on WRUU LP Savannah.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. And that has been all of the Verb Altitude Hour. We're right at the end of our hour. We're going to go right into Savannah on Film. Thank you so much. And tune in Wednesday for another incredible show with amazing guests. The highest news your way twice a week in an hour just for you.